trying to fool myself. I just go right there. And that, can't lose when you're right there. And I tell you, don't push it too high. Don't let it get too low. Just like a bad TV. Let's pray together. Father, we are very thankful again for this Sunday morning. And certainly, God, we're thankful for these who... chin, and didn't get fired, you knew it. When you got that callback interview, you knew it. Because you sat in that room with all them other people waiting to be interviewed, and they were talking about their credentials and their ability, and they were Lottie and cum laude and real somebody, and you sitting there thinking, I got a GED. What the heck am I doing in this room? And then when you walked out of that room and the phone rang 2 days later and said, we want to come on back, and you thought about yourself, and then when you got hired, you looked around and said, well, I don't see none of the people that were in that room. Your chest went out. You said, ain't God all right? Amen. When you yet remain alive, and people who worked out and were vegans and ran every day, and they dead, and you still alive, and all you do is eat fat, drink grease, stay up all night, you ain't on no diet. You don't exercise. You know the hours of every restaurant in town. And you alive. And people who don't do none of the stuff you do, they gone. The favor of God. And yet we don't serve him. I really believe that you got to ask yourself, what do you want to do? And then ask yourself, why ain't I doing? In the sense of loyalty. How many of you got a real good friend? I mean a real good friend. Amen. I encourage you. You can walk your hand and go up. Let's pick each other. Me and you. So next time our hand will go up. But there are people you would drive across country for. There's people that if your phone ring, you say, wait a minute. What's up, man? You know, anybody got friends like that? It's kind of rare. As you notice, me and Deacon Walker didn't have one. But we're on our way now. We're going to give each other our phone numbers and we're going to be boys. But I'm telling you something. As much as you would do that for anybody on this earth, what would you do for God? And don't act like God ain't asking you to do stuff. Don't act like God ain't calling you. Don't act like God ain't tugging at your heart. Don't act like God ain't keeping you up at night about stuff. Because he is. He's a disturber of spirits. He makes you restless. You know there's a calling and an assignment. He makes you restless. Some of you have been wondering what's the source of your restlessness. I'll tell you, it's God. If you ain't feeling some kind of way about your lack of service to God, shame on you. Oh, ain't no time for this now. Look at me. A divine dissatisfaction is a good character. The only way you're going to ever serve God better is to be honest enough to admit that you're not serving him at your best. Thank you, Brother Beverly. Brother Bibble is an old man. His hand went up. He said, I agree. The only way you become a better servant is to say to yourself, this hour I'm not at my best. I could sing better. I could usher better. I could preach better. I could trustee better. I could deacon better. I could mom better. God, if this is what you've given me, back up, Reverend, because this is what you've given me, because this is where you put me, because these are the people around me, because this is what we're lacking, because this is where we want to go, here am I, Lord, send me. Brother Thomas will tell you that in military, one of the things you learn very early is not to volunteer. But he will also tell you that if you don't volunteer, your career progression will be rather slow. So I was always sticking my hand up. And I forsook my wife and my children for all that TDY and all of those assignments. But I knew if I was out there, they'd see old Big Mitch. And I'd get promoted. I'd get recognized. at my mother's house, I got two stacks of commendations, all kinds of stuff. I left them at her house so it don't crowd up my house. Don't need all that stuff, man. You know, once they give them to you, you kind of, you know, okay, you know. But the fact of the matter is, I got a chest full of ribbons because I don't wear the uniform anymore. But there are guys who had a career like mine and got one row, maybe two. I got four. And one on the top. And the fact of the matter is, I wanted to do it. Sometimes they pick me. Sometimes Sergeant Major would say, tell Sergeant Mitchell to report up here. I need to talk to him. And, you know, you couldn't say no. Military got a lot of godfathers. They make offers you can't refuse. You know, the sergeant, is there a problem? You might want to go back over that oath that you took. You know, okay. But let me ask you this. Didn't you promise him that I would serve him till I die? Then what are you doing? If you're a servant and not serving, there's something wrong with that. Thank you, Ms. Zodi. There's something wrong with that. If all you do is go to church, you are not a good disciple. The demons know how to do that. If there is no role in your life that has GBC attached to it, you're missing something. Because you carry your work home. Mm-hmm. You think about your work. Some of you are frustrated with that. Some of you are commanded and compelled and called to do things that you don't want to do for the boss, for the company. And God doesn't get no play like that. The ministry ought to disturb us sometimes. You know, you read all the things about your church and say, man, we can do better. We should be. So what do I need to do to make us do be? Because I really believe that in the sense of loyalty to God, compromise should go out of the picture. If you have anything in your life that matters to you, you do know that the attention you give to that makes it worthy. I've heard people say stuff like, I'd do anything for my children. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people lose their houses. One of their children get arrested, and they make that bond, and they put their house up, or they put their car up, and it goes bad. And they wind up in a pinch. People say, you crazy. That boy wasn't no good in the first place. That's my child. I mean, y'all have been in a room with people that say that? That's my son. I don't care what y'all say. That's my son. And sometimes the family say, no, Essie, we ain't going to help you with that. Girl, don't you put your house up for that boy. That's my child. Everybody know he's a rascal. How many know that some people think you're a rascal? How many know that your mama and daddy, in conversations you didn't hear about, when you want to go to college, when you want to do something, they sit down with aunts and uncles who said, are you crazy? Don't put that kind of money behind that child. And they said, that's my child. If y'all ain't going to help me, then fine. But I'm going to do it. You do know that happened in all of y'all life at one time or another. There's something you want to do that somebody thought was crazy and try to tell your mom and daddy you were crazy. Some of y'all, when y'all want to get married, your mom said, well, you know, girl, going to marry that boy. Child, that boy is a fool. You going to let that gal marry that? They too young. They don't know what they're doing. And mama said, that if that's what she wants, if that's what he want to do, then y'all ain't got to come. You know, families have fallen out over decisions your mama made about you or your daddy or somebody. But look how God loves you. He has no regret. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you know you've let God down more than a time or two? But he has no regrets. You know why? Because he knows you and you matter to him. And he knew that sacrificing his son for you, that if there were other gods in the conversation, they'd say, you crazy. Why would you send your son down there? Thank God ain't no other gods in the conversation. But somebody would have said to him, are you serious? For that people? They've already turned their backs on you before.
You got history with them people.
He said, I'm going to do it. And he has not regretted it. Not one time. He's not a God of regret. He doesn't have to repent. And so the question becomes, okay, what's going to happen to his church when his church doesn't keep him first? What's going to happen to his church when his church doesn't love him with all their heart, their mind, and their soul? Who's going to feed the hungry? Who's going to clothe the naked? Who's going to take care of the widows and orphans? Who's going to lift up and magnify his name? I was watching television the other night, Brother Thomas, and they're talking about the state fair and all of the people that are coming. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of them folk going tired at their church. They say if you buy one of those all-inclusive tickets, it's $20. You know, if everybody in this church put at least $20 in church, we would meet or exceed our budget in 6 months. Now, that doesn't mean all of the high-end folk go down. Now, all the high-end folk got to stay up. But the rest of y'all, some of y'all don't put $20 in church, but y'all going to the state fair. I'm not going to even ask you, have you been or do you plan to go? But you're going on vacation this year or been already. Amen. See, look, they can walk and everybody doing this. You know the truth don't change because you look at your shoes. We got folk ain't never put $20 in this church. Ain't going to put $20 in this church on a given Sunday. We have people who have never attended a ministry planning meeting. When I tried to form my little pastoral executive committee, I saw the same people I see all the time. I was trying to give other people an opportunity to get in. Nobody tried to get in. We still got vacancies in the ministry that in July we have not filled. Because nobody cares. Everybody looks at me and goes, I don't want to mess up. You can't mess up unless you get in. Get in, mess up, we'll fix it. A couple of weeks ago, when the financial team was back there doing their job, and Jasmine came and said, Ms. Price, we got a problem. We can't get this thing to reconcile. We didn't freak out. I was sitting right there as pastor, chief faith officer of the church. I said, well, y'all handle that. I didn't run back there going, what the heck's going on? What do you mean we're missing X amount? Why do the numbers don't, you know, I said, Sister Price, good luck. Have a nice day. I'm gone. Ain't that what I said? And I left because that's not my thing. That I trust them to figure it out. And nobody ever came back to this day. They still have not come back and said, Pastor, we never did get that figured out. So my assumption is they got it done. They figured it out. You know why? I trust them. You know why? Because God called them. I trust that when God calls people, God will equip people. Here's what you missed. God has already equipped us. That's why he calls us. Some of y'all just too lazy to trust God with your equipping and calling. Nobody in here, none of us were born trustees. Not to our knowledge. Now, in the foundation of the earth, God had everything planned. But when you came out, nobody looked at this boy going to be a trustee. They just didn't do that. They didn't look, there's a preacher. I mean, you know, they might have thought about some things. Everybody wanted you to be. Nobody looked at you and said, here's the next bum. Yeah, this gal here got stripper written all over her. They didn't do that. Nobody does that. See, I always have to get y'all attention because y'all be drifting on me. That's all y'all going to remember. Pastor said, you going to go down and, child, Pastor was talking about strippers today. No, I'm just trying to tell you. But God knew. And some of y'all are afraid to trust God with your life, but that's who you ought to trust with your life. Stop trusting people with your life. There are people who said you would be a good something, and you started thinking about that. Trust God like that. Trust God for what nobody else sees in your life. And you'd be amazed. I really believe God still likes to amaze us. I really believe that. And I think that one of the things we need to recognize is this thoroughly equipped is thoroughly equipped. This is not hypothetical. This is an absolute promise of God that when I call you, I know what to do with you. How many of you have worked on a job and felt like you should be in another department or felt like you should be given more responsibility or felt like, you know, you got to feel some sense of
I'm better than this. I don't want to just be a clerk. I want to be elevated. I want to be. Now, listen, again, here's my real honest teach to you. If you ever get to a place where you're just satisfied with that, that's just about all you're going to have. And if you whine and complain about it, you the fool. Now, it's hard to call a person a fool. But if you hate the fact that all you do is this, it's because you ain't trying to do nothing else. Ooh, that was close. You saw that one. I'm serious. There are soldiers, Brother Thomas will tell you, who came in privates and became career privates until they hit career progression and they had to go home. Then they whine and complain about it. Because the military came up with, if you don't make certain rank by a certain time, you got to go. Career progression. And some of us who work on jobs think to ourselves, and again, I'm just telling you now, this is me. I always want to be the guy at the top. I've told y'all stories about hoping my pastor got sick so I could preach, hoping my sergeants got ill so I can go. Because I look at it and say, I can do that. And listen to this. I always say, I can do it better. So if you're sitting on your job and you're in the same desk or at the same counter or in the same little cubby hole and you rotten and ticked off, that's your fault. You should have took a class. You should have went to school. You should have done something where they can say, hey, there's an opening coming in such and such. You want to apply for it? And if you sit there and don't ever apply, look how quiet everybody getting. I think I'm on to something here. If you sit there and don't ever apply for anything greater and you die in the place of dissatisfaction, that's your fault. If you sit in this church Sunday after Sunday and don't ever think to yourself, this church could be greater, we're going to die, and it's your fault. You don't think that you can do something greater in the kingdom of God, you're fooling yourself. Because God didn't call any of us to be the bottom. What does the word say? You're the head and not the tail. And there's enough room and headship for all of us. That's how we're going to be known as a people. His people. Because he desires you. There's always, listen, Jesus says, you'll always have the poor. That don't mean I want to be one of them. You know why? Because he said, I can be the lender and not the borrower. I'd rather own the bank than be in debt to the bank. My family, Deacon Walker, you probably had this same problem too. Pat, you probably got this problem. Carolyn, you probably got this problem. My family thinks I'm a bank. Every time something happens, because we've done well with our lives, our phone rings. I was sitting around the house the other day, looked at a 904 number. Because I know that's Florida, that's the 904. And I said, now, who in the world is that? Now, if Ms. Davis hadn't been here, I'd have told y'all what I really said. But y'all know what I said. And I said, no, we ain't going to answer that. 20 minutes later, ring again. Same number. And I told y'all before, and I'll tell you again. If your name ain't in my phone, I ain't answering it. When it ring and you not already in my contacts, I know that you're a stranger to me. I'm sitting around there, it's a 434-665. I ain't going to call the rest of the number to ring. I said, I don't know who that is. They local, though, because that's an old U.S. cellular number. They call in the pastor, they're going to have to leave a message first. Because Tamika can't answer all my calls. But I got voicemail. And so it rang about five times, and then finally, beep, beep, the little voicemail thing. I said, okay, now let's see who this is. Because, see, I can listen to voicemail without having to talk to you. So I hit the little button. Hey, cuz, man, I've been trying to get in touch with you. Holler at me, man. Man, I got a situation down here. You ain't going to believe this, cuz. These folk down here tripping, man. Come on, man, holler back at me. And they got that little note came up. Messages sent to trash will be permanently deleted. I ain't making that phone call. know who it is now, and I know his history. You know why? Because what the Lord has given us, we got to be responsible stewards over. But I'd rather be the lender than the borrower. And because you're a Christian, every one of you, I'm not from Louise on this side, who's at the furthest on the back, to now Deacon Davis sitting here, the furthest to the front. You are called by God to greatness. Don't be sitting around talking about, they ain't never let me. No, you didn't never press the issue. You can't sit around waiting to be noticed. Press the issue. Walk in there to your supervisor and say, listen, what's the next opening coming up? Because I want to apply for it. My granddad used to tell us all the time, make them say no and then make them explain why. You know, my granddad was a smart old man. He was an entrepreneur. He had money. My grandfather, listen, my grandfather started buying and owning businesses when black folk couldn't even ride in the front seat of a bus. Y'all know the time. He kept going to the bank. He kept going to the bank. He made them say why. And finally, group of black men got together and started their own little bank. And they made their business loaning money to us. Come on, y'all. Don't act like our history don't say this. And that's how they got to be a bank. That's how we started having our own banks. Because we said to ourselves, if God be for us. And we don't need to stop saying that now because it's 2017. If anything, we need to say it more. That's how this church got to be 150-something years old. Because somebody said, and they're going to down our watch. I don't have any reservation of doubt that this church has had its share of struggles in the past. But a group of them sat down and said, no, we're going to keep this Brookville alive. Folks sign their name to stuff. There are very few black churches that exist where personal properties weren't put on the line because folk loved the church. Folk put their farms and their house. They went down to that bank in a group and everybody signed over their little piece of paper to keep that church alive. And now we sit in God's churches and all we want to do is take. Nobody wants to give. Nobody wants to surrender. Few people, let's put it that way, few want to surrender as servants, soldiers, and subjects in the kingdom. We all just want to eat and get fat. Want you to marry our children and bury our dead and give us a fine ceremony and have church picnics and take us on field trips. But we don't tithe. We don't serve. We ain't giving up nothing. But we want everything. And God is saying, apart from me, you have nothing. If you ever want to change your lifestyle, trust me and I'll give you everything. But I ask you a question right now. How many of us in this room would like to live greater? Every hand would go up. There's no doubt in my mind. And the only reason your hand wouldn't go up because you don't want to validate my point of teaching. You're just sitting there going, I ain't going to let him win this time. But I'm not satisfied. I want more for us. My daughter and I were looking at, my daughter brought this thing to my attention. She said, Dad, look at this. It was on Facebook. Some rich black woman in some continent of Africa, some part of the continent, she's a billionaire. One of her sons got married, and she spent $6.5 million on the wedding. Didn't it? She had 1 million white roses in this thing hanging from, it was pretty to look at the picture. The dress, the money, the band, she had, what was that guy? Robin Thicke was the singer. She invited Robin Thicke to come sing for her son's marriage. $6.5 million. On a wedding. My wife and I got married in the courthouse. gave the judge $25. 39 years later, I'm still married, no more married than he is. And I said to myself, come on, God, you got to be kidding. I'm praying to build a church. This woman thrown away what I could have built the church, fed a million people with. Which tells me I ain't asking God for too much. I said, this is the kind of stuff that makes me go back in my room and pray. And say, God, really? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everything is God. Whether she believe in God or not ain't got nothing to do with it. I believe in God. And I have a God who says, ask and it shall be given to you. I wouldn't spend $1,000 on a wedding. Amen. Y'all look at me. Daughter came talking about she was getting married some years ago. I said, good luck. And my family. Like, you know it's traditional for the father to pay for the bride. Tradition broken. They want to get married, let them pay for it. Nobody pay for my wedding. My wife said, that's different. No, it ain't. Mm-mm. And they ride around picking venues and bringing me back receipts and invoices. Somebody sign this. No, no, not gonna do it. Courthouse. I'll marry them free. They didn't want that. They said, no, they want the shindig. I said, you'll shin and dig without me. Amen. And, you know, time went on. But my point is simply this. What do you want to do for God? Because everything is possible for us. And when we look at our lives, what components are we missing that are readily in front of us? Okay, I told you I was going to give them to you. Write these down and we'll talk some more at the next opportunity. One, it takes courage to do more. It takes courage. Can't be scared. Some of y'all are just scared. You're not. It's not that you don't have the ability. You're just scared. Takes courage. Second thing is, it takes confidence. I can do this, Pastor. It's in the scriptures. I can do all things. If God be for me, nothing is impossible. Those are confidence builders. Amen. The third thing, it takes competence. Having been thoroughly equipped unto every good work. You can do anything you want to do if you build your level of competence. I'm good at this. If you ever had surgery, you look for the best doctor. You go online or you go talk to others who've had that surgery and said, who did your knee? And you said, Dr. So-and-so. Said, okay, I'm going to get him. How'd it go? And they tell you, you look for people who are competent. You're going to fly an airline. You don't want to fly just above the trees airline. We barely get off the ground. We arrive every other time. You don't fly them. You fly the friendly skies of United. You fly Delta. We rise above. You fly those. You look for competence. It takes that in the ministry. The fourth principle that it takes commitment. God be first in my life. God is my everything. See, those are the songs we used to sing in the church. Jesus is everything to me. He rules the land and sea. We used to sing to God like that. Now we always sing about what God going to give us. When God going to give it. No, it takes commitment to him. Amen, y'all quiet. It takes a connection. Part of what we're saying is we are one with God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, it takes a connection with God, an undeniable connection. The Father and I are one. Be one with us. That's a connection. And I need you to think about that, beloved God. I need you to think about the fact today that are you really connected with God? Or you just connected to the church? Because being connected to the church is not salvation. The church didn't save you. Church was saved people come. Talk about being saved and make plans based on being saved and do ministry based on being saved. But the church didn't save you. And having loyalty to a building but not his body is tragic. The home church. I'm going to stay with the home church. You better stay with Jesus. Because this building didn't save nobody. Even Jesus reminded them that the temple itself in structure is going to come down. He said not one stone will be on top of the other. But me, I'm forever. That's our connection. And then it takes character. Character. When they look at the last gathering of the church in the earthly realm, this is what they say. These are they that have washed their robe. They had character. And some of us lack character. Christian character. They gave of themselves. They wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. You know what? That means they've been bloodied. They've been to war. They fought. They were soldiers. They fought the fight. They weren't spectators. Not quite everybody is. But that's what it takes. It always takes that. It has always taken that. We became a church of casual observers. We just watched. We didn't want to be involved. Those saints before us, they put it on the line. They said, to God be the glory, and they got it for him. Amen. I don't know what kind of house you grew up in. Wasn't there. But I listened to my grandmother and my aunts sit around. Some of my uncles got it right. And they talked about what they were going to do for the church and did it. They say stuff like, we're going to get this here money. That's the language, this here money together. We're going to pay that thing off. They burned the mortgages. They didn't let the church go under. They gave up themselves. They gave up themselves. They didn't require you to do it and he don't do it. They did it as family. My grandmother would call them little family meetings and say, look, this is what I'm going to get y'all to do. I'll never forget it. My grandmother would call all her children in, my dad and all my uncles, and say, this is what I need from you. She didn't ask them. That little old short fat lady, she said, look here. The church doing thus and thus. I need all y'all to get me $100. She said, don't look at me like that. Don't make me have to come looking for you to get it either. And she said, y'all can go ahead now. I'm through. And I'd hear Daddy get home. Boy, Mama in that church going to drive me crazy. And Mama said, well, Sammy, that's your mama. And you know what? She got $100. She had 13, nine of which, well, 11 was surviving at that time. She got $100. And every time that church needed something, she won't be out front. And she'd say stuff like, we ain't going to let them moles outdo us. A little competition went on in the church. She said, we ain't going to let old Big Sally outdo us. She'd kill me up front. Every time I turn around, she won't be up front. Not this time. And sure enough, when they call her the big giver name, people say, we want to thank the Williams family for being our top donor. Come, she all stand. She was proud, and she'd be looking around, stand up. She said, hold on, run past it. Got a few more of them back there. Get up, get up. And then when you got home, don't make me have to embarrass myself in front of the Lord no more. But we all stood up. You know, we ain't doing but our little penny drive, but we did it. You know why? It was for the church. My grandfather ran a little illegal gambling house out behind the big house. Grandma would come back there with a bucket. Interrupt the crap game. Interrupt the card game. And say, look ahead, all you sinners. She said, we doing a little something down at the church. I need y'all to put something into this here bucket, and I'll be back for the night over with. Don't make me come back in my bucket empty.
And she gone by the business. And little later on, she said, go back there and get that bucket from me. And we bring, she said, I go take it back down there. That bucket went back and forth a lot. She said, they got plenty of money down in there. And if it didn't look right to her, she'd go back down and say, y'all playing with the Lord. She said, the only reason the police ain't back here because somebody praying for y'all. She said, now don't mess up your good thing. Oh, she had a way. But that especially the guy that was on the roll, you know, a house man get a little cut anyway. Grandma would send that little tray back down there. But she loved the Lord. Well, nothing was impossible for them that believe. And let's stop compromising on God. Because there are areas in all of our lives where we could do greater. And can I tell you something? It's not going to take more than you have to give. It's just going to take what you haven't been willing to give. Because you've been equipped by God to do every wonderful thing. So those things are going to take courage. It's going to take confidence, competence, commitment, connection, and character to build the Lord's church as the Lord's disciple. Amen. My time is expired. So we're going to let the praise team come right on here just a moment. Some things I want you to read over. I got them in here, but let you get ahead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that's a good read. Hebrews chapter 3, that's going to be a good read. 1 Corinthians 14, read that. That's a good read. 1 Corinthians 12, that's a good read. And we're going to be talking about these in the coming weeks, so you'll feel like you're right at home when I get to talking about those particular chapters and stuff. Amen. I went too fast. Okay, I'll give them to you again. These are the places you want to read. Everybody ready? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You want to read through there. Hebrews chapter 3. That's a good read for you. Job chapter 11. Anything you read about Job is always interesting because that's like so much like us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a good read. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12 is going to be great. There's some lessons in all of those that are going to lend around the things I just gave you. Courage, competence, confidence, commitment, connection, and character. Those things are, they're absolutes. A church without courage is not a good church. How many of you ever talked to somebody and they failed to do a thing and their response to you was, I was scared? Nobody? Yeah, I was scared. Why you didn't go? Listen, there are people who would not go to college. They were smart people. They were just scared. Some of them were scared to leave home. Didn't want to be without their mama. Some of them were scared to leave the confines of friends and stuff like that. How many of you remember talking to your friends and making some of your decisions based on your friends' decisions? Stuff like, you going to go to college? I don't know. I think I'm just going to go to work. Yeah, me too. You going to get married? I don't know. Me neither. Come on, talk to me. Lack courage. And there are those of us who sit in this room today. Can we be honest? And sit in this room right now. Stop doing that, Leroy. And look back on our lives and recognize that if I had a little more courage. Thank you for those of you nodding your head. I appreciate your honesty. Courage makes a lot of difference. And what's going to happen to us in this ministry is some of us going to look back and say to yourselves, man, if I had a little more courage. In the movie On the Waterfront, I've mentioned this one over and over again because you know I like movies. That was Marlon Brando's line. When he's sitting in the back of that sedan with his brother, and his brother trying to tell him that it was the promoter's fault.
He said, he pushed you too fast. You could have been the next Carl Kahn. You could have been. And he looked at him. He said, it was you, Charlie. It was you. He said, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Instead of fighting fights in Palookaville. And everyone in this room, every one of you are contenders. Isn't that what the scripture says? It says contend for the faith. You got to go for it. You cannot sit around and watch things die around you and not want to do something about it. And you, please, don't ever live so long that what happens in God's house doesn't reflect what's happening in your house. Trust me, because whatever happens in God's house is going to happen in your house. When the house of God is strong and competent and courage is abounding, it will happen in your house. Because your house will never be greater than his house. And our problem is a lot of us are trying to make our house greater than his house, but he says no house will be greater than my house. Telling you now, if you want your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren to prosper and to be strong, do it in the Lord. Amen. Trust me in this. A little more courage would have changed your whole life. Oops, that was close. Trust me. How many of you sitting in this room right now know courage would have changed the day for you? Carpe diem. Seize the day. You hadn't been scared to fill out that application. Scared to go somewhere nobody else had ever been. My uncle went to college. He went to Grambling University and lasted all of about 3 months. Came home. Everybody said, "Wow, he was smart. Brilliant." He said, "I was scared. I ain't know nobody out there. I was by myself." My grandfather had a little money, paid for it, He said, "Boy, you crazy." Now, he turned out well. He did, if God be for us. But he still would tell you. He died a few weeks ago. He will tell you, "I wish I had stayed. Because as wonderful as my life has been, it could have been greater." My aunt did the same thing, went to some great college in Alabama. I can't remember what school it was. It was HBCU, but she too panicked. You know what she said? "My brother got scared and so did I." Cowardice is often replicated in a family once it begins. Once a person of notability in a family is cowardice, others assume that cowardice may not be so bad. Because we look at people that we thought were confident and competent and strong, and if they falter, we figure, "Well, he was way better than I was, so me doing it ain't so bad." But if you build a character of strength, and then folks start looking at you and saying, "Well, you want a Davis boy." And you say, "Yeah. Man, they say your daddy was something." "Yeah. Now I'm something." "Oh, your mother was so-and-so." "Oh, your mother was quite." You think any of Rosa Parks' grandchildren are wimps? I doubt it. Because everybody going to tell them, you Rosa Parks, what you mean you quitting? You know who your grandmama was? "I'll slap you into Wednesday." Anybody ever been slapped into Wednesday? Okay, some of y'all, okay, how about this one? "I'll slap you into the middle of next week." That's Wednesday. The middle of next week is always Wednesday. Thank you for knowing that. And people look at you and say, "What you mean you ain't going to do it?" Do you know who your people are? Boy, your mama and them were slaves and bought houses. And then they look at you and say, "What's wrong with you? You didn't come from," anybody ever been told you didn't come from that? They were trying to help you. I know my time. I'm always doing this. But every time the Holy Ghost say, "Keep going," I have to. Because I get people at the last part of this that I don't get at the first part of this. And I need all y'all to know this. All it's going to take is a little more courage. You can be the next great anything in the body of Christ. Your children need to see that in you. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it very quickly. I wish my father had been more of a Christian man. He was a good guy, but my dad didn't go to church, but every now and then they had those little days when his organization had been invited somewhere and they're going to make a presentation. They'd all put their little blazers on, and they'd show up 50 deep. My daddy was the president of a club called the Limelighters. Limelighters. You know what limelight is, right? A bunch of guys who like to show off and be seen. That's what they were. They were big ballers. They had money. And they liked it. And they would show up in their blazers with white pants. And they had an orange blazer and a green blazer because that was their high school colors. And now here's a bunch of old players with Jerry curls. I'm serious. Didn't they all have Jerry curls? My wife tell you. My dad and his old players all had these Jerry curls. And they were, now you imagine seeing 50 old players drive in conversion vans. They all had customized vans, didn't they, honey? And they would come to your church and take up a bunch of pews. And in the middle of the service, one of them would stand up and said, "Our brother pastor, on behalf of the Limelight Social Club of Jacksonville, Florida, 2339 West Pearl Street, we want to make a donation to the church in the amount of," and they'd always do like $3,000 or $4,000. Them players had money. And they were, and all, every church would, I wish they'd show up here today. Dead or alive. I'm taking the money. Our offerings have fallen off so badly that I'm going to start running, soliciting up people to come and do what y'all don't want to do. We can't keep doing this. But they would give. And they weren't Christian. They just would do it for the show. Every so often, they go to a church. And here's what they did, though, that I didn't know until my daddy told me. They would take the rumblings. Somebody would say, "Well, we're trying to build a thus and thus." And they would get wind of that. And they felt that because they were part of the community and knew they could make a difference, that they would go and do it. When my father died, I found out something. My mother, well, she don't listen to our podcast, but I will tell you this. I found out that my father would buy TVs, air conditioners, washers and dryers, fix people houses, and pay for it. My mama never knew. My father would do that because he thought he can do at least that. And here's what he told me as he got, he said, "I felt like since I didn't go to church like I should have," this is what he said to me, made me cry. He said, but I knew God had given me more than most people had. And here's what he said to me, I owed him that much. That if I can do it for the least of these, he quoted a scripture and I looked at it. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. How dare you sit here and talk about God? He said, son, it ain't that I don't know. Watch this, Susan. He said, I just don't do. And I'm looking at y'all today. It ain't that y'all don't know. Y'all just won't do. God is great. All it's going to take from all of us is a little more courage. Well, praise our God, Sister Erna Royal. Praise our God. Amen. It's a good day. Praise the Lord. And it's your birthday time. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Here you are among your friends and family. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We got a little something we're going to do for you today. We're going to make your heart real glad. Amen. And so all of us need to recognize that it just takes a little courage. Just a little courage. Amen. Take your time. Those of you who sit in this room today, you're the now church. We can't sit around thinking that somebody's coming to fix us. We can't sit around thinking that it's somebody else who's going to take us to the next place. It's us. Just like it was them in that day. That's the only reason we have this day, because they took the courage then. A legacy, a lineage, a people. You have everything you could ask, think, or imagine if you invest in it. God said to all of us, and has always, God has not taken one line of promise out of the book. He said, the only reason you don't have it is because you won't ask for it. And then if you ask me for it, don't ask me doubting. The old folk used to say like this, if I say it's going to rain, you better get your umbrella. That's how I feel about God. When I ask God for something, I start getting ready for it. Amen. And I've been laughed at. I've been told I'm crazy. But they that wait upon the Lord. Not maybe. Not woulda, coulda, shoulda. He still says, shall. You have a God of promise. Not probability. A God of promise. And if you build your courage around promise, you know what he says? You won't be disappointed. Every one of you in this room, a child of God, same promise. One Lord, one faith. That's what we need. We need one faith. We need to agree on what we believe. That's what scriptures say. When we sit down together, we're not sitting down to be contrary. We're sitting down to say yes. Because God is like that. Amen. All right, read those things. We're going to get my time up. Okay, we all right. We're going to be fine. I showed y'all last week how fine can work. Fine, going to work again, Deacon Walker. You mark my word. That's Jesus. Let me mark my paper. Come on, leaders, and let's do our scholarship gift, and we're going to get right on with the getting on. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. Thank you for those who share with us in our media outlet ministry. Thank you for these who are with us. Thank you for these who filtered in. And pray, God, that on next Sunday's opportunity, they will rise even earlier that they might hear all that you are saying in this learning opportunity to the church. God, thank you for a few of us who have encouraged ourselves today to have more courage. And for those of us who nudged our neighbor or looked at our neighbor, made a remark with our eyes or even with our mouth. Lord, thank you today that we have shared in this moment together. And we bless your name. Thank you, God, for being the God of everything that we could ask, think, or imagine. Apart from you, we can do nothing, but we've decided today we want to do more. We want to do greater and greater and greater things, that your name be glorified. Again, Lord, forgive us of our sins of being lazy and procrastinating and fearing. We're going to get rid of those things that we might now, God, serve you in a greater way. This is our prayer. This is our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on up. Come on up, leaders. Come on with my scholarship giving. Going to move right on into the praise ministry. It's ready. I can see them chomping at the bit, ready to go.